The thing that I really want to focus on today is this topic of repentance and confession. Now, when you think about repentance and confession, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, of course, we know that we need to repent and confess. And you know, you probably thought, well, yeah, you know, I kind of did that when I first became a Christian. I kind of did my sinner's prayer, you know, when I asked Jesus into my heart or whatever. And you're kind of like, well, kind of been there, done that. I was really sorry for my sins, blah, 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 blah. But you know, the thing about repentance and confession is it's not meant to be a one-time deal. It's not meant to be, oh, I've checked it off my list and I'm done, right? It's meant to be a continual process. And you know, as we prepare for this season, my question really is, are we regularly in a mode of repentance and confession? You know, how can we be in that soft, receptive mode where we are coming before the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to examine us, and we repent and confess? Now, you know, some of this, we're going to kind of go through just a few verses of Scripture today, but the first one that I want to mention is, and it's very familiar to all of us, you know, is from Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you know, I think most of us know this. You know, when we first became a Christian, you know, someone may have walked you through the Romans road, the different scriptures in Romans that kind of talk about our need for our Savior and what. Can we have that back up on the screen, please? What, you know, why we need God. And you know, it's a pure simple fact, right? We're all sinners, right? We're all sinners and we fall short of God's glory because God is perfect, he's holy, and we are not, right? We're born with sin because we have the sinful nature. Because, of, you know, you remember in the Genesis account, you know, Adam and Eve, right? And the whole thing about eating that forbidden fruit and then sinning. But a lot of times when we think about sin, we think, you know what? I'm not that bad. Like, I'm not a criminal. I'm not a murderer. I'm not, you know, if you think about some of the events that have gone on this past week in the news, I didn't cheat, you know, to get into college, right? I didn't pay bribes for my kids to get into Stanford or Yale. You know, like, I would never do that, right? Well, first of all, I don't have that kind of money. But then second of all, I would never do that, right? You know, or to make it more of a somber note, I mean, you know, some of you probably know about the tragedy in Christchurch in New Zealand, the shooting, right, in the two mosques. I mean, it's like, I would never do that. I would never kill, right? And so we think about sin, and Cheryl kind of talked about this when she shared about Rahab, right, in our Unsung Heroes. When we think about sin, we think that sin is such a big thing that, oh, I'm not, like, that's the person next to me. That's not me. You know, but the fact is, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, maybe you're not a murderer. I hope none of us are murderers, right? But maybe we've murdered someone in our heart. Maybe we've murdered someone in our mind, right? Maybe our thoughts, our wrong thoughts are our sin. Maybe it's the lust that we have, right? Maybe it's a bad attitude that we have. Maybe it's our jealousy. Maybe it's our bitterness. Maybe it's our dislike for something or someone. Maybe it's my impatience when I lash out at my kids or when I lash out at my wife. But we all have sin, right? And the amazing thing is that when we are faced with our sin, that the Lord obviously forgives us of our sin, right? Now, before I go into that, that amazing thing is, I think a lot of times when we talk about repentance and confession, at least for me, one of the things that kind of make it harder to repent and confess is that I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. Like, I'm prideful, right? Like, I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. I don't want to admit to show that, hey, I'm sorry. I lashed out at you, you know, because I was impatient or I was angry, right? Or kind of like, we're shameful. You know, we don't want to be exposed or found out, right? We want to hide, right? You know, I'm going to share a few examples with you from our family. Our youngest son, Enoch, he's like 2 and something, right? But sometimes when he does wrong, he just will not say sorry. And some of you may have seen some posts on either Instagram or Facebook, or where he's just got this scowl on his face and he like will turn away and he will just not say sorry. It's like, you know, just say sorry. Like, you did wrong, just say sorry. No, right? I mean, it's kind of cute, but it's kind of not, right? But a lot of times we're like that. We're like, no, I don't want to say sorry. Like, I kind of enjoyed being mad, or I kind of enjoyed doing that wrong thing. Right? Or like, okay, so the other day was, I think it was Friday. So our two youngest kids, Esther and Enoch, they come to preschool here at Gateway Preschool Academy. And I pick them up at 3 after their nap. But as they've gotten older, they sometimes miss their naps. And so, which is not pretty. Okay, so if they miss their naps, it's just not pretty on the ride going home or when you're at home. Because sometimes inadvertently what will happen is they'll get in the car and I'll feed them their snacks, and then, you know, they'll be listening to music and all happy. And then all of a sudden, sleepiness will set in. So get this, before I continue that story, I ask Esther, like on Friday, I ask Esther, "Esther, did you take a nap today?" "Yes." "Did you sleep a lot or a little?" This is all in Cantonese, right? And she said, "A lot." I said, "Esther, you know that Jesus knows whether or not you took a nap, right? So even if you, you know, told me yes and you didn't, Jesus still knows." And she's like, "No, I took a nap." Right? And so sure enough, we get in the car. She's listening to worship music, singing at the top of her lungs. And then somewhere on the 280 while going home, her eyes just kind of get glazed. And I see her in the rearview mirror trying to yawn and trying to like keep herself awake and kind of like stay awake. But of course, inadvertently, she just slumps over and falls asleep, which is fine. I don't mind, okay? But the issue is, when she wakes up, she's a hot mess because she hasn't slept enough and whatever. And it's just very painful for her and for me and for everyone else that's involved. But the issue is, I don't really care if she naps or not. What I care about is, she's like, what, 5? And she's lying. It's like she's lying. I mean, she's point blank lying to me. Right, in my face. "I took a nap. I slept really well." I'll say, "I don't think so." But, and so I had a chance to talk to her afterwards, and I said, "Esther, it's okay if you didn't take a nap. You just need to tell me, like, tell me truthfully." And then, you know, I said, "Did you take a nap?" And she said, she didn't say any words. She just said, I said, "Yeah, I know. It's okay, I know." But the fact is, brothers and sisters, we're all sinful, no matter what age, right? You know, whether it's like, you know, and those of you that have newborns or whatever, you know, and those of you that have been parents, you know we're all sinful, right? You know, from a very, very young age, right? And no matter if we're 2, 5, 55, 15, whatever, we're all sinful, right? And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But this thing about repentance and confession, what I want to encourage you to do is really, it's not a one-time shot. We need to continue to live a life of repentance and confession. And let's go on to this next passage in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And we all know this, right? This is the amazing part that I was alluding to. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness," right? It's God's promise to us. He will be faithful. Like me going to my daughter, like, "I know that you didn't take a nap. Just fess up. Like, I'm still gonna love you. I'm not gonna like spank you or whatever, right? I'm gonna love you. I just want to know the truth. I just want you to say the truth," right? And this is such a wonderful promise, because God's saying that he's faithful, he's just, and he will forgive us our sins, right? Not only does it stop at forgiveness, but he will also purify us from all unrighteousness. He will change us if we let him. But it begins with us coming before him and confessing, being honest, being truthful, saying, God, I can't hide from you. You know, just like Adam and Eve, you know that story. Remember that story in Genesis, right? Of course God was in the garden. Of course God saw what they did. You know, it didn't work when they were trying to hide. But a lot of times we do the same. We try to hide. We try to cower. We try to say, okay, God, you know, don't find me in this corner. But of course he does, right? He will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we come before the Lord, and if we're open and honest and say, God, I confess, blah, 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 he's gonna change us. But we need to be willing to allow him to change us and to purify us and to really reverse that attitude or activity or whatever it is. You know, I know a lot of us in our church, we're very familiar with time with Abba, where we go through the daily passages of scripture. And, you know, we've been taught to kind of use the multicolored pens and highlight and kind of like mark, you know, like the sins. And then we kind of confess those sins. So that's a really great exercise, right? But I just want to encourage us, and not just because it's Easter or preparation, but we need to continue to live a life of repentance and confession. Because I know that I don't do that enough. You know, I tend to think of myself as, you know, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm really not that bad, but I am, right? We all have sin, whether it be my attitude, my actions, my thoughts, whatever it is, I need to constantly be coming before the Lord with a heart of repentance and confession. You know, God is so good, right? He says, he promises, he is so loving, and he promises that when we confess our sins, he will forgive us, right? So you know what? What a relief. Like, I don't know if you've ever had an experience where, and it could be with God, but it could be with a loved one, it could be with your parents, it could be with your children, where you had just had this tremendous amount of burden or guilt. But once you confessed it, and once forgiveness was granted, didn't that burden of guilt just slide off? Didn't you feel so much better once the forgiveness was released? Didn't you just feel a whole weight, just a big release, right? And this is what happens when you allow the truth of God to come in and to expose whatever darkness, to expose whatever lie that you and I have been living. But we need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest and allow the Holy Spirit to come and convict us of whatever it is, no matter how big or how small, so that he will not only forgive, but also purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's a kind of another way to look at repentance and confession. And, you know, I think this is the more traditional way, like, oh, yes, I'm a sinner, or, you know, acknowledging my sin, my guilt, or yes, God, the Holy Spirit convicting me of what I've done or what attitude I've had. But there's another passage of scripture that I wanted to share with you, and this is, and it's from Romans chapter 2, verse 4. But this is really about the kindness of God, okay? And I kind of was thinking this is kind of another angle that can help some of us think about repentance and confession. You know, a few months ago, our youngest, who's like 2 and something, you know, ever since, so he used to be in the nursery, but then during the first hour, they started like a kids' church for the older guys in the nursery. And so he came back a few months ago, and he started singing the song, God is so good. You know, the kids' song, God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. And I think Cheryl and I were just like, really like amazed, like, wow. He knows that song, and he's only two, right? But as I was reflecting upon that song this week, I came upon this verse in Romans 2:4. And it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" And this part of the message, I just want to focus on God's kindness, God's goodness leading us to repentance. How has God been good or kind to you? You know, God's kindness, his grace, his mercy, it's so undeserved if you think about it. You'll remember that because of our sin, we were separated from God, right? And then, but because of what Jesus' death on the cross did for us, we were able to have access to our Heavenly Father. But this verse is pointing to the fact that God's kindness leads us to repentance. The kindness of Abba Father, even though it's undeserved, unmerited, unwarranted, is pointing us back to God himself. You know, a few weeks ago, if you were here, Ron Wilborn talked about going after the heart and not the behavior, right? God's really going after our hearts. God's kindness, what he's done in your life and in my life, no matter maybe how many times you feel like you've messed up, his provision for you, how he prepared whatever way for you, his kindness is meant to lead us back to repentance. Think about that. How has the Lord's kindness, his grace, his mercy led you back to a realization that, wow, God, even though in my case, I wasn't a good student, even though I was lazy, even though I was, you know, procrastinator, God, you still granted me a job, right? I mean, just think about the kindnesses of God that have been poured out on your life. But then it's like, is it, you know, it's intended to lead us to repentance. So like, do we recognize that, oh God, because of your kindness, because of your goodness, that Lord, I need to come before you in a heart of repentance, in a heart of confession, in a heart of just submission to saying, God, will you forgive me for whatever that I've done? You know, of course, we don't want to take God's kindness or his mercy or his goodness for granted. And it's very easy for us to do that because we think, oh, God will always be loving. God will always, I mean, he is always loving, right? But like, he's gonna, like, he's always gonna, like we should not take God's for granted, right? We should not take God's love for granted. But a lot of times we do. But that's when we need to recognize that, you know, God's kindness is supposed to lead us to a heart and a state of repentance and confession. So even as we think about next month and about what Jesus has done on the cross for us, and I really wanted to really use this Sunday to start preparing us and to start thinking about, well, am I living a life of ongoing repentance and confession? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to really reveal to me? Am I being sensitive to God's voice and saying, God, I still have sin. I still need to come before you each day and confess my shortcomings before you, knowing that because of your redemptive work on the cross, you've made a way. You've given me hope. You've given me new life. And I hope that as we enter this season, that we would live a life of ongoing repentance and confession. and that the Holy Spirit would not find that our hearts are hardened or cold, but that we would have soft hearts so that when the Spirit of the living God is convicting us, that we would quickly confess, we would quickly repent, knowing that God is so kind to us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to invite you to stand. I don't know how your whole concept of confession and repentance is. I don't know if you're sometimes like me thinking, well, that's all done. Like, I did that, been there. I'm really not that bad of a sinner. But I want to encourage you to think about whatever it is that the Lord may be laying on your heart, that the Spirit of God may be convicting you of right now. It doesn't have to be big. It could be something insignificant, but whatever it is that may be coming between you and the Lord, whatever sin, whatever wrong attitude, whatever wrong motive that you have, I just want to invite you to bring that before the Lord. As the Holy Spirit reveals to you, is there anything that you need to confess before the Lord today? I want to invite you to do just that. I also want to invite you to think about God's goodness and his kindness in your life. And the fact that his kindness leads us also to repentance. How has the Lord been faithful to you? How has the Lord been faithful to your family? And how has that led you to repentance? Maybe you need to ask the Lord to show you how his kindness should lead you to repentance. Let's just spend some time reflecting and praying and asking God to reveal and confess any sins.
Jesus' name, I am blessed. Christ I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory in Jesus' name. This life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so
come before you today. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness that you have shown to each and every one of us. Lord, the kindness that is so undeserved, the kindness, Lord, that only you, because of your mercy and grace, could pour out on us. Jesus, we thank you that you knew us, that you called us by name. Lord, even while we were still sinners, Jesus, you still loved us. Even when we were still far from you, Jesus, you wooed us by your Holy Spirit to yourself. Jesus, as we come here today, God, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for your death on the cross that washes us clean, that washes us from our shame, from our guilt, from our past, from our present, and even our future. God, as we come before you, Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to help us to live a life of repentance and confession. Father, that we would not think that it is just a one-time thing where we confess, but Lord, that we would be living a daily life of being open to your Spirit, being open to your conviction, being open to your voice. Lord, we ask that you would continue to plow our hearts, that our hearts would be soft to you, that Jesus, you would reveal to us when there is sin, and that we would be quick to confess, quick to admit when we are wrong. And Jesus, that you would come and cleanse us, and that you would cleanse us with your purifying water and sprinkle us clean once again, that you would make us righteous. Father, we desire, Lord, to be made righteous before you. We desire, Lord, to be your holy vessels so that we can be used of you. Father, we thank you, God, for this time, for your revelation to us. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your kindness. And Lord, even as we prepare for this next month, Lord, to commemorate Jesus, your death and your resurrection, may we live with expectant hearts. But Lord, even in the time leading up to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, Lord, continue to speak to us. Allow us to pause, to reflect, to confess and to repent, but also marvel at your grace and your goodness in our lives. So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And we ask that you go before us now, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.